ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Maseches Menachos, Daf Nun Vov. The Gemara at the beginning of the Daf brings down the Pasuk by the Korban Oilo. It says, V'shochat oisoi al yerech ha'mizbeach tefoino. So the Loshon HaPasuk is that you shecht v'shochat oisoi. And there's a miyot hakroa there, an exclusionary phrase. This is shechted. Bitzofoin, apparently something else isn't. The Gemara tries to work on what is it that's not shechted bitzofoin. The Gemara has a hava amina here that we are supposed to darshin that oisa bitzofoin ve'ein ben oif bitzofoin. So that when you shecht the behemoth for an oilo, it's shechted in the northern part of the Azorah. But when you moilek an oif for a oilo, for a moilek an oif for a korban, the malika does not have to be in the northern part of the Azorah. The Gemara says there was a hava amina that I could learn the malika to oif out of the shechitas behemoth, that just like shechitas behemoth of a oil of a kochet kochem is bitzofin, so likewise the malika of the oif. Maybe I would have said that mikol oif has to be bitzofin as well, and that's the miyot hakro, the shochat oisoi, that the oif is not, does not have to be nimlak in the tzofin of the azor. The Gemara then comes out, maskona, that I would not have had a good hava mina to learn that oif from behema, and therefore the Gemara looks for some other need for the pasuk of the shochat oisoi. A number of achronim over here ask the kasha, the biskirov over here asks it somewhat bekitzer, the Mikdash David asks a little bit more barichus. The kasha they work on is that l'chayra, the Gemara, this whole discussion is really superfluous, unnecessary to get into this question of whether Malikas Ha'oif has to be tzofoin of the Azorah or not, since in any event, the way that you have to be Malik the Oif in any event is always Mekayim, this concept of tzofoin. Why? So the Brisker says like this. He says, you know, there's two types of korban oif. There's chatas oif and oilas oif. And chatas oif, the Rambam Paskins, is done anyhow on the floor of the Azorah, bekeren deroimis marovis, at the north, the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. And that keren deroimis marovis, said the Brisker is not in the Tzofen HaAzorah in any event. So there was no hafamina, and couldn't have been a hafamina here in the Gemara, that the chatas oif has to have its malika b'tzofen. So the Gemara must have been talking about the oilas oif. The problem here is that the Gemara in Zvachim learns out that Oilas Ha'oif has to be nimlak b'roish Hashem Mizbeach. He has to take a dafka to the top of the Mizbeach and be moilek it over there. So, where is the location of this roish Hashem Mizbeach? Is it located b'tzofoin or not? So the truth is that the Achronim over here, all the Achronim point out that in Masechta Zvachim, there are three opinions in the Gemara about the location of the Mizbeach in the Azorah. Just to explain this, to give it a bit of a picture, if a person walks into the Azorah and stands at the Shar Nikner, directly at the gate, in the Shar Nikner, centered in the gate of the Shar Nikner, he's standing, and again, he's facing the Beis HaMikdash. So the way we usually see the pictures is like the Man D'Omer in the Gemara, that the Mizbeach was Chetzi B'Tzofoin V'Chetzi B'Doron. The Mizbeach, in other words, was centered, precisely centered, and according to that, half the Mizbeach is more north, half the Mizbeach is to the south of the Azorah, half the Mizbeach is to the north of the Azorah. That's the Man D'Omer, Mizbeach is Chetzi B'Tzofoin V'Chetzi B'Doron. There's two other opinions on this in Zvachim. One Man D'Omer holds Kulam Mizbeach B'Tzofoin. According to that opinion, Mizbeach in the picture that we just depicted, the Mizbeach would be off to your right. It would be off-centered to it, your right, and the entire Mizbeach would be in the tzofoin of the Azorah. The other Mizbeach, the Man D'Omer holds, they call it Mizbeach B'Doroim, and according to that Man D'Omer, if you have it kind of pictured in your mind, you're standing in the Shar Nikner facing the Beis HaMikdash, the whole Mizbeach would be off-centered toward your left, so that Kulam Mizbeach B'Doroim. And on this, the Achorin and Tain of the following. If I hold like the Man D'Omer, Kulam Mizbeach B'Tzofoin, that the whole Mizbeach is located in Tzofoin, and we know that the Malika has to take place at the top of the Mizbeach, there's nothing to discuss over here in the Gemara whether there's a din in Malika's Oilas Ha'oif that needs to happen B'Tzofoin, because of course it has to be B'Tzofoin in any event, because that's the Saivi, that's where the top of the Mizbeach is, and Malika's Oilas Ha'oif has to take place on top of the Mizbeach. Elamai, if I go like the Man D'Omer, Kulam Mizbeach B'Doroim, then there's also nothing to discuss, because Malika has to be on top of the Mizbeach, and the whole top of the Mizbeach is B'Doroim, so obviously there's no half a minute to suggest that the Malika of a Oilas Ha'oif has to be B'Tzofen. It can't be. It's Roshon Mizbeach, and according to this Man D'Omer, the whole top of the Mizbeach is located B'Doroim HaAzorah. So the only way to work it out is like the Man D'Omer in Zvachim that holds in the Mizbeach was Chetzi B'Tzofen V'Chetzi B'Doroim. It was precisely centered so that half the Mizbeach is on the south of the Azorah and half of the north. So I would have a half a min over here that I dafka have to find myself on the Tzofen half of the Roshon Mizbeach. And the Kamash of the Gemara is that it's sufficient to be able to be Nimlak, the Oilas Ha'oif, on the Doroim half of the Roshon Mizbeach. That's what you have to learn. But the Mikdash David and the Biskarov point out on this that even then you're really not in the clear. Because the Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Zvachim holds, based on a drosha in the Pasuk, that even if a person would shecht a behemoth, a kochin behemo on the top of the bech, l'chatchil, we don't do this, but if you shecht a behemo, a chatos, or a behemo, an oilo, behemoth, or an oilo, on top of the bech, the halacha would be that it would be kosher, even if I shecht it on the ear on top of the bech, that's not geographically betzofen ha'azorah. I kochin have to be shchitosin betzofen, so the answer is that there's a special drosha that Rabbi Yossi has in the Sugya and Zvachim, that the Rosh Hashanah has automatically had a din of Dorim, of Tzofon, has the chashivas, the significance of the Tzofon HaZorah, regardless of its geographic location. And that's how he has Loshna Pasik, which he darshins, that the Pasik says, as a vachta olav, it says, make him as Be'ach, as a vachta olav, as a lezechov, as shalomecho, etc., etc., which he darshins, but Be'ach drosha, the word olav means literally on top of the Be'ach, not just a long sofa on top, then on top of the Be'ach is kosher the Shech, the lezechov, shalomecho, even the kochikoch. In other words, you can shecht on top of the bech because the entire Rosh Hashanah bech, according to Biyasi, has automatically the same din as Tzofon, even if it's not geographically located in the Tzofon. So on that, the Mikdash Dov, the Biskei Rav, point out that it's going to be shver coin to him as well, because even if the bech is not geographically entirely in the Tzofon, so what? The top of the bech has a din of Tzofon, and we know that Malika Soilo Soif has to take place at the very top of the bech. So in any event, you're being moilek in a mokum that has a chashivus, as if it would be Tzofon, and has the dinim of Tzofon, he could even shecht a behema of kochei kochim on the top of the mizbeach, even if it wouldn't be technically in the Tzofon, because there's a din of Tzofon. So what's the discussion between the Malika Soilo Soif? What's the Havman and what's the Maskana? In any event, it has to be nimlak on a spot on top of the Be'ach, which has the Chashivas and the din of Tzofon, regardless of where it is geographically. And we know that that's the case because it has to be Rosh Hashanah. So the Mikdash David comes out that we have to say, so that this Gemara goes like the other opinions in Zvach and the other man, the Omer, that does not darshan the pasuk of Zavachta Olov in this manner, and doesn't hold that the Tapanas Be'ach has a din of Tzofon automatically. So you have to make, in other words, a kind of, in a sense, two akimtis to make this Gemara make sense. Is number one, we have to say it's going like the man, the Omer, Chetzi B'Tzofon V'Chetzi B'Doran, that the Homer's Be'ach is centered, that the half is on the Tzofon, half on the Doran. Not like the man, the Omer, it's all on the Tzofon, not like the man, it's all on the Doran. And the other thing we also have to speak out is that it goes against Reb Yossi, who holds that the Be'ach has a Hashivus of Tzofon, the Tal of Be'ach has a Hashivus of Tzofon from the Pasuk of, as Avachta Olov, as Soinchov, as Shlomer, etc. So, because according to him, there would likewise be no Shakavataria, nothing to discuss whether the Malika has to be Tzofon. So you have to make several Akimtis, and the Mikdash David is satisfied that we'll simply make these Akimtis. Not all the Chayim are satisfied with this, and there are those who look to Bimitarit the Kasha, find a way that the Gemara could work out according to the other Shitas in the Sugya and Zvachim as well. Reb Chaskel Abramsky in the Chazon Yecheskel and Zvachim, Tain is that there's a distinction that needs to be made between the place, the Mokhaim, where the Koyhein who's doing the Avoida has to stand, and the place where the entity, the animal, in this case the bird, the Oif, that's being Nimlak, has to be located. As Avada Zokt of Chaskel Abramsky, that we do know, that the Koyhein who's doing the Malika has to be standing where Rishon Mizbeach. He has to be on top of the Mizbeach. But does that also mean, Zokter, that the bird has to be held in the airspace, the Avir of the Rishon Mizbeach? That's not necessarily the case, Zokter. The Kohen could be doing the Malika in such manner that he holds it over the side of the Be'ach, and it's actually hanging over the side. It's not directly over the airspace of the Be'ach. Komtoi, so to Pchaz Klavansky, that it could be that the Kohen that's doing the Malika is located in an area that has a din of Tzofon, either the Mizbeach itself is Tzofon, or Akapon the Rosh Mizbeach has a Chashivus of Tzofon. That's Mitzad, where the Kohen that's doing the Avoida is located. But he's holding it over onto a spot that's not even on the airspace of the Be'ach, and that could be that spot has a din of Doroim. So Meila Zokter, then the halacha that the Malika has to be Rosh Hashanah Be'ach, that's a dinner where the Oved Avoida has to be. He has to be standing. The Kohen doing the Avoida, doing the Malika, has to be on top of the Be'ach. That doesn't tell us where the bird itself has to be, though, and that's what our discussion is about. Our Gemara is discussing, like he says, it's actually Medik in the Gemara, the Kweshaila is whether the Ben Oif is Nikvaloi Tzofon. That's Lashon Gemara. The Shaila isn't the Heft of the bird. The Oif itself has to be Tzofon. It's a distinct question. Can you hold it over the side of the Be'ach so that it's not located with Tzofon or not? And we have him in the answer. You can't do that because the bird itself is at Tzofon, and that thing more is masik that you could, because the Oif itself doesn't have to be located at Tzofon. Chotch that even though we know, and this is true in fact, that the Kohen doing the Malika has to be standing on Rosh Hashanah Be'ach, so that his place where he is standing is in fact located in Tzofon. The Briskei Rav over here, as we mentioned before, asked the Kasha, and the Briskei Rav over here in the stencil does not say any teretz to the Kasha. He leaves it to Tzor Chiyin. It's interesting, I saw though, that actually in the Mishmar Halevi on Zvachim for Moshe Mosha Shulzinger, Zachon Zvacha, he actually brings that he heard a teretz from the Briskei Rav on this Kasha. The Briskei Rav apparently didn't say it when he said the Shir on Menachos, but the Briskei Rav had a teretz on this Kasha, which he explains that the Briskei Rav tainid that we do not say Avir Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach ke Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. So to explain, the Gemara in Masechet Vachem Daf Chofov discusses there's a sugya there called Avir Tzofoin ke Tzofoin. So that not only if an animal, let's say for example, is standing directly on the floor of on the Ritzba, on the floor of the Azorah itself, it means it's standing but Tzofoin ha'Azorah, and that has a chashivas of the Mokom of Tzofoin for the avoiders that have to be done but Tzofoin. But even says the Gemara, if you're holding something or some entity in mid-air in the Avir Tzofoin, the airspace of the Tzofoin ha'Azorah, that also has a chashivas of tzofoin, and the Gemara goes through a sugi over there based on this concept in Zvachon Chavov of avir tzofoin ke tzofoin. The Rav on this was mechadesh that on the top of the mezbeach it is true that according to Rabbi Yossi Shita in Zvachim, it's a din that Rosh Hashanah mezbeach, the top of the mezbeach is automatically considered to be tzofoin. We said that's a pasuk in the Chumash with the vachta olov until the sechav es shlamecha, the vachta olov yidarshin to shech directly on the Rosh Hashanah mezbeach, on the mezbeach itself, on the top. So even if it's not located physically in the geographical area of tzofoin, it still has a din as if it would be tzofoin. The Bishkar of Tainid, though, that's a chiddush, and it's a special chiddush in the actual surface of the top of the Be'ach. Masha'ein Kain, if something would be held in mid-air over the top of the Be'ach, we do not say Avir, Roish Mizbe'ach, Ke Roish Mizbe'ach. The top of the Be'ach has a din of tzofoin, but the airspace of the top of the Be'ach does not have a din of tzofoin. The Melo is that the Bishkar of Tzel on that if you shecht an animal, you bring the animal up to the top of the Be'ach and you shecht it. So if the animal is standing on the top surface of the Be'ach, it stands on the surface, and you shecht it there, and that's considered to be standing on the tzofoin, so that's a fulfillment of the kachim shchitasim b'tzofoin. Masha'in came by birds, aloch is hold the bird, you hold it in airspace, in other words. So you hold it ba'avir and you do the malika with your finger there. That, being held ba'avir, the bitzker of ta'inid does not get the chshivas of tzofoin because it's being held on the avir roish mezbeach, in the airspace of the tavern of the bech, rather than on the surface of the roish mezbeach. And that's why the bitzker of ta'inid, that this whole assumption that we're making, that it automatically is a din of tzofoin anyway by the case of the oif, the because it's being held in the airspace of the Be'ach, which is tzofoin. That's true that the Bishkar, but that's a vazundere, special independent chiddush about the surface space of the top of the Be'ach. It does not apply as well to the airspace of the Be'ach, and that, if that's not geographically tzofoin, it won't be called tzofoin. And Mele is very good, the Bishkar understood that would be the deal in this Gemara. How many of the Gemara held is it limud, that you can make a special drasha, that just like the shrita of the animal, the behemoth of kachi kachim has to be shutasim but tzofoin, so to malika of oif also has to be tzofoin. And was masik that that's not the case. Or you could have said it, but if there be a drasha to refute it, or if the Gemara comes out, I don't even have a good extension, logical extension in the first place, and therefore we're coming out that although a behemoth is nishcha but tzofoin, the oif doesn't have to be nimlak but tzofoin. And like we said, when it's nimlak bereish mezbeach, according to the Bishkar Rav, that's in the avir in the airspace, which does not have the chashivas of tzofoin. At the bottom of the Omud, the Gemara brings down a machloikis tanoim with regard to a case of Bechor She'och Zoydam. The Bechor She'och Zoydam is a Bechor, it's a korban, a firstborn animal, which was seized by an excess of blood. And the excess of blood was considered to be a very serious condition. It was considered to be a life-threatening condition if you wouldn't do the bloodletting. Sometimes the bloodletting would have to be done in such manner that it would be matlamum. It would have to be done to the lip, it would have to be done to the eye, in such manner that it would be matlamum. But you have to do the bloodletting if the animal is to live, because otherwise the animal was understood that it was going to die. And the question is, Meir, the Chachamim, and we'll talk more about the Shita coming up, but there is fundamentally a machlokes over here about whether it's permitted under these circumstances to do the bloodletting in such manner that would be matal amum in the animal, in a case where it would be necessary to do it with a hatolas mum. It has to be done dafka, for example, in the lip, or the eye, in a manner that's matal amum. Could you do it in a manner that's matal amum? Normally, not only matal amum, the kochim, it's a loisa, say, in the Torah, but over here, this case it might be mutter because the Bechor She'och Zoydam, that it has this excess of blood, is considered that it already has a mum. In other words, the och zaydam, the excess of blood, is considered to be a mum. And consequently, therefore, even if you matal a mum in it, you place a mum in it when you do the bloodletting, you do an incision in such manner that it makes a mum, that's just something called matil mum b'ba'al mum. That you're making a mum something that already is a mum, and therefore, that might be permitted. We'll talk about that shortly. Now, why is it altogether that a bechor she'och zaydam is considered to be a mum? Why is that a mum in the first place? It just has an excess of blood. Is that one of the mum of the Chumash? You look through the Torah, you're not going to find it in Pashas Emer. Where is this mum? So Rashi on the base says, Rashi holds that this doesn't need any real source. Rashi says, oh, Zaydam, this conjecture of blood, which is going to die if you just leave it, that's ein lecho mum godom izeh. That's the lashon of Rashi. There's no greater mum than that. Shehare yomus, because if it's left, it's going to die. And that, Rashi understands me, svara is the greatest of all mum, ein lecho mum godom izeh, and that's automatically considered a mum. Taisus learns a little bit differently. Taisus understands that Zaydam would not intrinsically be considered a mum. except Zoktoises, that we felt that the case here is that this excess of blood can only be removed by making an incision in a manner that makes a mum out of it. You're going to have to do the incision in the eye or the lip. That was the scenario here, which would make a mum. So therefore, Toises holds that this fact, that the behemoth has this physical condition, which is unrelievable, it cannot possibly be relieved, or without the hatolas moment, it will die if you don't relieve it, so therefore it's destined to have the hatolas moment, that itself considers it like it already is a mum. In other words, according to Tosis, it's not the fact that it will die that makes it considered already a mum, the ochzei dam, but rather the fact that it's a hechruf to take care, to save its life, by means of being matal a mum, that's the only way to be matal to save the life is matal a mum, so therefore that itself makes this condition already halachically be considered as if it had a mum already, as Tosis shitta, and here we have a whether it's permitted to matul mum bebaal mum. In other words, it already has a mum, and may allow to place a mum in it. So the Rameyah Shita over here is that you can do the incision, the bloodletting, only in such manner that it doesn't make a mum. Don't do it on the eye, the lip. But it's impossible, it's also, even if the equivalent is, the alternative is to let the animal die. You have no choice. Alpha Pekin, according to Rameyah, there's no heter to matul mum in order to make the incision or to save the animal's life, even though it already has a mum. Matul mum bebaal mum, it blives also according to the mayor. The Chomes say Yakiz, the Chomes say is permitted. We'll talk later. They hold it as a Gzer Darbonon that you're not allowed, after you do the bloodletting, you can't shecht based upon that. Normally, a Bechor with a mummy could be able to shecht and eat. Over here, the halacha is a Gzer Darbonon that you can't, like we'll see. But upon him, the Chomes hold Yakiz, they hold that it's permitted to be matal mum, bimbaal mum in this case. I'd like to begin here by bringing, saying over the sugya in Mesechta Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Gimel, that's quoted by Tosfos over here on the Beis. I think that that's an instructive piece of Gemara from which we can understand a little bit of the asoidos of the Indian over here. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Gimel, brings down the shitta of Rava, that Rava held that a person who is matal mum bekochim bisman hazeh, that in today's times makes a mum in a kochim, and Rava said that you're not over on any issa d'iraisa. Why not? So the Gemara says, because Bezman Hazeh, it's not Chozi LaHakrova anyway. You can't be makriv a korban in any event today. We have no Beis HaMikdash. It's not Chozi LaHakrova. So it's not fit for HaKrova. Therefore, there is no Issa D'Oraisa, according to Rava, to Matal Mum and a korban Bezman Hazeh. The Gemara asks the Kasha on Rava, says the Gemara, that even though Bezman Hazeh, the animal, the korban, is not fit for HaKrova, that's true, but it should be no different from Matal Mum, Bebaal Mum, which is a Machalekas Tanoim and Elasugyu, that there are those, Reb Meir and Elasugyu, who hold that there is Issa D'Oraisa, to Matal Mum and Bebaal Mum. And if that's the case, so Bebaal Mum is not able to be brought by HaKrova either. You can't be makrif Bebaal Mum on the Be'ach, and yet we still have Reb Meir that holds it's also the Matal Mum, Bebaal Mum. So it should be also, according to him, to make a Mum and a korban Bezman Hazeh also, even though it's not fit for HaKrova. The same way a Mum isn't fit for HaKrova. And you can't be matlam mum according to a mayor. The Gemara says no, that Bezman Hazeh is even weaker than the case of a mum, because by the case of a mum and a mayor, even though the animal itself can't be brought to the carbon, it could generate a carbon, because the din by a mum is that it's true that it itself is not brought as a carbon, but you could sell it and get money and buy a new carbon with it and offer the new carbon. So therefore, it's chazi l'demei, that the money, the value of the animal could be brought for a purpose of a carbon. We have no Beis HaMikdash, so lo iu chazi anat l'gufi, chazi anat l'demei, and therefore, no way to bring about a carbon from it at all, and therefore, it's even weaker than the mayor. Consequently, Rava holds that a matal mum, a carbon is man hazeh, when it's not, there's no Beis HaMikdash and not roi l'akrava, is not an issa d'oraisa. Now, it happens to be that the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rava. The Rambam paskin said a matal mum in a korban bezman hazeh is even issa d'oraisa, but the Mechas Chinuch says in a yesoidistic piece, he says that the Rambam agrees with the yesoidos of the sugya in avodah zarah. He doesn't disagree with the fundamentals there. It just happens to be that the Rambam paskin like the man da'oma, the makriv and afal pisha ain't biased. In other words, that we today, even if we have no Beis HaMikdash today, unfortunately, we still be able to be makriv korbanos. This is a very big topic, as you may be familiar, the topic of being makriv korbanos bezman hazeh, and we paskin makriv and afal pisha ain't biased, and therefore says the Mechas Chinuch, it's not true to say what the Gemara understands in Rava, in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel, that it's not Chozi L'Hakrova, that an animal can be brought as a carbon today, because it actually could. You just take it to the Mokha Mikdash and you can bring it as a carbon, even if there's no base of Mikdash. And Chas Chinuch holds that that Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah was going like the Ma'an Da'oma, that you're not Makriv, there's no bias, so you have to have a bias to be Makriv, and that's why it was assuming there's no way to be Makriv, a Kochim Bezman Hazeh, but we hold that you could be Makriv without a bias, and therefore, consequently, we wouldn't agree with Rava, and we hold that the Bamum is Chozi LaHakrova, fit for HaKrova, and you're obviously the Raisa if you make a Bamum. The reason I'm saying all this over is to bring out a point that I was thinking about, and then I saw that the Biskarov over here has a shtickle about it, that he speaks about it here in this stencil from the Grizz. And that is that what you see from all this, from the Sugya, and from the Rambam particularly, is that the yisoid ha'isir of being matal mum in a korban is not a din in the pa'ula, then it's just a din in the physical act of being matal mum, but in the fact that you're removing from the ability to makrev it. And that's the yisoid, that's why you have all the different gradations and levels. There's matal mum b'mamum, which is more kal. There's matal mum in a korban b'zman hazeh, if you hold it, you can't be makrev it at a bayis, which is even more kal than that, like the Gemara says, because it's not the din of the physical act of making the woman the carbon, but rather it is a din in the removing it from its ability to be korev. It's the outcome that's the fundamental of the lois say here, that you're not allowed to take it out of the ability to makrev it. And the Bishkur Rav rather makes this diuk. He brings down that the Rambam in fact paskins that this, that a person doesn't get malchus if he's matl mum b'mal mum, because Rambam attack paskins like the mandav, there's no malchus, no isa deraisa, and being matl mum in a bal mum, the existing mum already, the Rambam paskins that is only if the existing mum, the pre-existing mum was a mum kavua, a permanent mum, rather than a mum oimer, a temporary mum. Now, the be'emes is that beside the basic question of whether I can makrev it now, there's no difference in mum kavua and mum oimer. It has a mum, you know, you makrev it. But that's vague, and despite that, the Rambam paskins that the din, that there's no malchus for putting a mum into a bal mum, is only if it's a bal mum kavua. Why would that be? Is that the Bishkur Rav? What's the idea there? So the answer is, Zokter, based upon this principle and this concept we're speaking of, Zokter. The fundamental question that you have to ask yourself in terms of whether you're going to get malchus for being over the issa of matl mum in a korban is, was your activity a hani ma'isav? Was it effective with regard to removing it from the ability to be korev? So, Dr. the Bishkur Rav, this is where we make a distinction between whether the pre-existing condition was a mum over, a temporary mum, or was a mum kavu, a permanent mum. If the pre-existing condition was a permanent mum, so then your new act and being matl a new mum in the animal is loya hani ma'isav, was totally ineffective, because what you do already, the animal in any event was permanently disabled and disqualified from being able to burn the carbon even beforehand. So therefore, you didn't achieve anything, you're not over the deraisa. Masha'in came to the Bishkur Rav. This is where the Rambam understood that if you matl mum and a bal mum oiver, the pre-existing condition was a mum that was going to go away for a while, after a while, on its own, of its own volition. So it's a mum oiver. So there, the new act that you did in making a permanent mum in the animal was a hani ma'isov. Because till now, the existing condition that it had till now was something which was just temporarily going to disable it, but it had eventuality. It had a future to burn on time of the Be'ech once the moon would leave it, depart from it. Hashem came now that you put a permanent moon into it, you are hani mais of your effective in terms of permanently disqualifying it from Hakrova. Since Dr. Bishkur Rav, the understanding that we have is that the Yisoid Hadin of the Isser Matl Mum at Kubakodshim, that the Yisoid of this Lois Hasei is in terms of not the physical act of placing the moon, but in terms of the outcome of it, that you're disqualifying it from being worth for a carbon, that therefore will make this distinction in terms of whether this physical act that you did have this sort of an outcome and had this sort of a toitzo or not. If it had a pre-existing bal mum oiver, you did have this type of a toitzo because it was going to have a destiny, a future to be brought to the carbon till now. Now you made a bum pukavua on it and it won't have the kind of destiny, and that's why the Rambam is going to pass it. In that case, it's a hani ma'isav, it was effective what you did, and therefore you're going to get a malchus. Now, Reb Michael Feinstein over here in the Shiurim discusses this Bishkur Rav, and he points out that in the Tur, in Yedei Shin Gimel brings on the Rosh, and the Tur agrees with this Rosh, and the Tur writes, not like the Rambam, the Tur says that a person with matl mum and a bal mum, even if the first pre-existing mum was only a mum oiver, it was only a temporary mum, and he placed the permanent mum in such an animal, the halacha still is that you're not lucky, you don't get malchus for that, in the opinion of the Tur and the Rosh, and they argue on the Rambam. Reb Michael Feinstein asks the Kasha, he says, if we're going to accept this Yisoid, if it's going to be a given that the fundamental isser of matl mum b'kodshim, or placing mum at the kodshim, is in terms of the outcome, Shaboy, so over here there was an actual effectiveness in your act. It had an actual outcome, but till now it was only a mum oiver, but it had a destiny that would eventually be brought as a carbon. And now you made a mum kavua, you took away the destiny, and your actions were effective with your new hatolas mum. Why would the Torah and the Rosh, according to that, why would they hold that there is no malchus for matl mum b'bal mum, even if the pre-existing condition was just a mum oiver? So that's why Reb Michael Feinstein wants to tie in a big chiddush, and he wants to say that the Torah and the Rosh disagree with the entire fundamental principle we've been speaking of till now, and they in fact hold, Zokter, that the Yisoid HaYisr, the fundamental idea, the prohibition, in being Matal Mum B'Kodshim, is not in terms of the outcome, but it's in terms of the physical act that you did. You did a physical act of Hatolas Mum, of making a mum physically in the animal. And Mela, therefore, according to them, fundamentally one really would have argued that there really should be no ptur at all of matl mum b'bal mum. What's the difference if it was previously a b'bal mum, a pre-existing b'bal mum or not? In any event, you did the physical act of making a mum in the animal, and therefore you ought to be chayav a malchus. It should be the same lois, I say. Why would there be a sugya and a ptur altogether of matl mum bemum bemal mum according to that. So Dr. Michael Feinstein, we would have to learn that there's a tznai in the heftza of the animal, the entity of the animal, the place in the mumin, that animal has to be chozi l'hakrova, has to be fit for being offered. In other words, the question we're asking now is not in terms of whether the outcome of your deed was a real outcome, a meaningful, significant outcome or not. That's not the question we're asking. It's just a question of whether the physical deed that you did, if it fit the bill, it was an act of altolos lumi getzi malchus. But there is a tznai, a condition, in terms of the shem of the chefta, the type of entity of the animal that you're placing the mum in. It only is going to be considered a loisase, a Torah level iser, if it was an animal that was chozi l'akrova, fit for offering, and not if it wasn't chozi l'akrova. Michael Feinstein, if you look at it from that vantage point, I understand why the Torah and the Rosh are of the opinion that it makes no difference whether the pre-existing condition was a mum kavua or whether it was a mum oiver, a permanent mum or a temporary mum. Because in any event, if the question I'm asking is in terms of the label of the animal, was it till this point chozi l'akrova, fit for being offered or not, the answer in all cases, if it had a mum, is it was unfit for being offered. Even if it was a mum oiver and had a kind of future ahead of it that it was intended to be offered, despite that right now its present day label is that of loy chozi l'akrova, unfit to be offered, and therefore, if I'm looking at it in terms of the physical act that I'm doing, it's a physical act of being matl mum and you ought to be chayev, but it has to first meet that condition that it was done to an which chozi l'akrova, which is fit to be offered, so if it had any kind of mum, it wasn't fit to be offered, it doesn't meet that condition, even if it was just a mum oiver that the animal had a temporary mum, and consequently that will explain the Tur and the Rosh that they hold that a batl mum, if you place a mum in a bal mum oiver, even if the existing condition was a mum oiver, despite that there is no malchus, and that's because you don't meet the bar, you don't meet that standard of fitting that condition of chozi l'hakrova. I'd like to point out that this whole discussion that we had from the Brisker Rov and Michael Feinstein, these Yisoidos, could help us to understand the difficult inyan that we find here in the Achroinim Benigeter of Shimon Shita in this Braisa. Rav Shimon is at the very, very bottom of the Omer, he's the third Shita here. Rav Shimon Omer, the Gemara being said, Rav Shimon says that Af Nishchat al Oysa Mom. In other words, the person has a Behemah Sha'ochsei Dam, it's a korban, the Bechoyb, that already had a congestion of blood, an excess of blood, and you have to let the blood in order that the animal should live. So, Rav Meir's shita was that you can't do this hatolas dam, this bloodletting, if it's going to cause a mum. The Chum disagree, and they hold you could do it, but they have a gzeir d'abanon that even though you could do it, you can't shecht it and eat it based upon that mum. Rav Shimon says no, you could shecht it and eat it based upon the mum. You could be matl. You could do the bloodletting if it already has the ochsei dam, even the way that will make a mum, and you could even shecht it and eat it. Af nishchat alois a mum. What is the reason for Rav Shimon? Why is he so makel? So let's go backwards here for a moment and say the first taisa Shita here in the Sugya, and then afterwards Rashi Shita. Taisa's Shita is that Rav Shimon is fundamentally exactly the same thing as the Chachamim, just with one difference. The Chachamim's Shita is that you are able to be makiv. You could do the bloodletting, even in such manner that it will make a mum, if it's imperative to do that bloodletting with the mum, and there's no other way for the animal to live, to endure this congestion of the blood. So you could do it, and you can make that mum, but the chum hold, you can't shecht. Why can't, you can't shecht and eat it subsequent to that. Why not? So it says Taisus explains that the reason is because of Exer de Abonon, because we're concerned if a person sees that under these conditions, where it has a lot of excessive blood, Chazal is sometimes allowing you to shecht it and eat it, you'll do the bloodletting, and then you'll shecht and eat it. The person is going to come to do that bloodletting in a manner that makes a mum, even if there were alternatives. And even if he could have done the bloodletting with a little incision elsewhere in the body that would not have made a mum, he'll still do it in the lip or the eye in such manner that makes a mum in order to be able to shecht and eat it, because he has a lot to gain from that. He can shecht and eat it. So in Melo, there's a concern that people are going to come to Yemore Heter, they're going to end up, any time there's a need to bloodlet, they'll let that blood in a manner that makes a mum, even if it wasn't necessary. So in order to avoid that problem, Chazal said that even if you do it, even if you let the blood, you make the mum, we won't allow you to shecht and eat it. Rav Shimon is not goyiz, it says Tosis. He holds that there's no siba to make a gzeir. We're not so nervous about this gzeir. And consequently, the same way that we're allowing you to let the blood in such manner that it makes a mum, we're also going to allow you to shecht and eat it in the aftermath of that. That's how Tosis understands Rav Shimon. Tosis brings down the rationalists differently, and Tosis has got problems with Rashi's shita. Rashi over here, at the bottom of the Omud, brings down that he holds that the opinion of Rav Shimon, why Rav Shimon is so makel over here, and he holds that you could even let the blood in such manner even make some mum, and you'll be even able to shecht and eat afterwards. The Rashi says Rav Shimon is a tamei. Rav Shimon consistent with what he holds in many places in Shas. The Omar Dovah She'enim is kavam muter. Rav Shimon holds that a person who does a single act, and the act that you're doing is in and of itself innocuous, but it has an unintended secondary consequence, which is aser. Rav Shimon is not worried about the unintended secondary act, the consequence. He only looks at the primary act. That's called Dovah She'enim is kavam muter, which is Shimon's shita throughout Shas. And likewise, Rashi holds Rav Shimon goes to shitasi over here. In other words, the idea over here is that I'm doing the bloodletting in a manner that makes a mum, but that's not why I'm doing it. The reason I'm doing it is simply to do the bloodletting so the animal could live and won't die from the excess of blood. So it's just an unintended secondary consequence that he ended with a mum, and therefore, in consequence of that, the halacha is Shimon is always mekel on Tav HaShem Eskavin, and he's fully mekel. He holds that there was no issa that was done here at all, and he would even allow you to shechen eat. And this is Rashi Shitta. The Shimon here is based on his sugi and Gan Shas of Tav HaShem Eskavin Mutter. Now, Taisus over here doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Taisus brings down that the sugi mechach de bechoyro is a meduik. Not like Rashi, it seems to be against Rashi over there, that Rav Shimon in this sugi is not based upon his algum and the shitta throughout Shas of Dov Hashem Eskav and Mutter. But the Rishonim and the Achronim get into a discussion of what comes out of Rashi, the nafkaminas, the outcomes that emerge from Rashi. And one point that Bansham is discussed by Taisus himself is that according to Rashi, there's going to be a big difference according to Rav Shimon whether the person who is matal mum babal mum, the person who makes a mum in an existing bal mum, does he have in mind, is he mechavein for the purpose of hatolas mum, he specifically wants to make the mum, or he's doing it from an unintended, a different purpose, just for, let's say, to let the blood out, and it's an unintended consequence of that, he ends up with a mum. Because the Rishimin's whole yisoid over here is based upon Dov HaShem Eskavin Mutter, is an unintended secondary outcome that's going to come out that if a person is matal mum b'mal mum, and he's purposefully trying to put a second mum into the b'mal mum, then Rishimin would ask that like Reb Meir. Tosis over here, as we said before, Tosis goes against that. Tosis holds that Rishimin is fundamentally like the Chacham, and he holds that matal mum b'mal mum is mutter and has nothing to do with the fact that it is einam eskavim. The Biskarov over here points out over here, for example, that according to that, one could paskin like Rav Shimon, and paskin in the case at hand, we had the Bukhar Sha'af Saidam, that you could even let the blood in a manner that makes a mum, and you could shech it, and you could eat it, and you could still at the same time you'd be able to paskin l'halacha that matal mum b'mal mum is aser. In fact, the Biskarov points out that that in fact is the Shita Shabahag. The Bahag in fact does go like that. The Bahag paskins that there is a lois hasei in being matal mum b'mal mum in place of mum into an existing b'mal mum, and yet the Bahag himself taka paskins like Rav Shimon. They paskins like Rav Shimon over here in the Braisa, that in the specific case at hand where the behemoth was ochsei dam, the korban got an excess of blood, over there the Bahag is matir, doing the bloodletting even if it ends up with a mum, even though the Bahag himself paskins that matal mum b'mal mum is also. Biskarov brings down that Rital Ghazi asks for a cash on the Bahag, it's a steer in the Bahag. The Chayr Rav Shimon Sheet over here is being matir, doing the bloodletting in a manner of making a mum because of the pre-existing mum that it had, that sounds like Rav Shimon Shita is based upon matal mum b'mal mum being not included in the lois hasei, and the Bahag holds that it is included in the lois hasei. The Biskarov says that the Bahag will look like Rashi, it's not a problem at all. Fakete, it works perfectly, really fundamentally, matal mum b'mal mum is tackled mamash lois hasei in the Torah. Over here, we have a special halacha of einam eskavin, and it's an unintended consequence, because what you're doing is just to make an incision to let the blood out, which fundamentally can be done without making a mum, right? You just do a little innocuous incision somewhere else on the animal. Here, punkti doing the incision in a manner, it has to be done on the lip or whatever it is, in the eye, in such manner ends up with a mum, but that's an unintended secondary consequence, and that's why specifically here, Rav Shimon is matir, the matal mum and the bal mum, based upon Dov HaShem Eskavin. Now, there is, however, another kasha over here, another point over here, discussed by Reb Michal Feinstein, Rebbes is discussed by a number of other mechabim as well. And that is that they ask that, really, it's very schwer to say that Rav Shimon is a taimei, l'shitosai, hold Dov HaShem Eskavin Mutter in the way that Rashi says it, because we know throughout Shas, the Gemara says in a number of places that Moida Rav Shimon b'psik reisha, that Rav Shimon is Moida by a psik reisha, without getting into tremendous detail about it. I'm bringing all this up because I want to point out how this ties in, this whole discussion ties in with what we spoke of before, in terms of understanding the concept of the lois hasei matal mum. So I'll be somewhat makatsar on the Shabbos raid, but as you know, you're probably familiar that Rav Shimon, when he holds that you must do unintended secondary consequences, only if it's not a certainty that that consequence will be realized. Just to give a simple example, the example that's given in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, a person who's dragging a bench on the ground in such manner that the bench may make a furrow in the ground, it may end up being over on Boina if it's indoors, since you're fixing up the house to make that special trench in the house, or you're over on Choyrish if it's outdoors, and you're changing the contours of the ground in a manner that's beneficial, so are you allowed to drag that bench or not? So if it's not a certainty that the bench is going to make this charitz in the ground, this furrow in the ground, so then the halacha is, it's Tov HaShem Eskavin, it's mutal like Rav Shimon, we pass like Rav Shimon, and it's an unintended secondary consequence, even if you end up making the charitz in the ground. Mashenkin, it's a
Vaday, that it was going to make the Charetz in the ground, then we consider it to be Osir, because that's a Psik Resha, and Rosh Shimon is Moida by a Psik Resha. And the Kasha that they ask here, Michal Feinstein and others ask, that this is Mamish a classic example of a Psik Resha here. We're talking about a scenario in which the person understands good and well, that in order to get the Ochsoy Dam, the congestion of the blood out of there, he's going to have to do the incision at the lip or at the eye in such manner that it's going to make a mum. He knows Vaday it's going to make a mum. This is the case of Psik Resha, so why in the world should Rosh Shimon be Makel over here? What's Rashi saying? Rosh Shimon is Moida by a Psik Resha. A very big Kasha on Rashi. And Michal Feinstein says on that he believes that you can answer this by saying that Rashi holds at the Shita of the Oruch. The Oruch is quoted by Tosis and Shabbos of Kuf Gimel and by a number of Yishayim in different places in Shas. And the Oruch's opinion is that although Rosh Shimon is Moida by a Psik Resha, that's only by a Psik Resha the Nichalei. In other words, that's if the outcome is desirable and he has an active Ratzon or an active interest in this outcome that's being brought out. For example, in the case of the bench, let's say the person would actually want to have that furrow in his ground, he could store things in it or the like. So there, the outcome is desirable. Psik Resha the Nichalei. And that's where Rosh Shimon is Moida by a Psik Resha. The Oruch's opinion is if Psik Resha the Loi Nichalei or the Loi Ichbislei means either he doesn't want the outcome or he doesn't care about the outcome. Either way, the halacha is that that's not considered to have the chashivas of a Psik Resha. It's David Shein Meskaven, and therefore the person is mutter based on this concept that it's an unintended secondary consequence. The truth is that this question of whether Rashi would justifiably be able to use the oros yisoid of Psik Resha de la Ichbislei, Psik Resha de la Nichalei, that Psik Resha you're not interested in, to apply it to the sugya at hand of the Issa being matlum and bekochim, is a little bit of a tricky point, and really is toloi in the raid that we spoke of before in terms of understanding the yisoid of Issa of matlum and bekochim. So in order to bring up this point, I want to say over the yisoid that's brought up by Reb Nochum Pertzovitz in his shiurim on this Indian of David Shein Meskaven, Reb Nochum discusses the following. He actually discusses a very big kasha on a Rambanic subis and Avov. Very big kasha on Ramban, and from there, Nochum boizois his raid that he explains the fundamental idea that underlies this Shita the Oroch. The Reb Nochum says like this. The Ramban in Masechta Ksubas Davov says, and the other Rishonim that discuss this point as well, that they want to bring raya's from different places in Shas, that although the Oroch says that a Psik Resha de Lenicholei is mutter, it's his opinion, the Oroch, that the secondary outcome is not desired by the person, then it's mutter. So a number of Rishonim say that actually only applies to Shilchos Shabbos, Melechus Shabbos, but it doesn't apply to other Isurei Torah. And by other Isurei Torah, the Oroch of Yimayda, that Psik Resha is also intrinsically Issa Deraisa, even if it's Lai Nichalei, even if the person is not interested in the outcome. And this gets around some sugyas and shas of the Gemara's Mavur, in other places, other areas of Halacha, that Psik Resha Lai Nichalei is also. The man explains in Ksubis that the reason for the distinction between Shabbos and other Dinei HaTorah is because Shabbos is a special Halacha of Meleches Machsheves Osir HaTorah. This is a fundamental concept. It's based on a pasuk in Vayakhel, which speaks about how when they built the Mishkan, everything was done in a very, very focused and organized manner. Goal-oriented. This, I always explain that's what Melech Machsheves is. Focused and goal-oriented manner. So, thought through, in other words, Machsheves. Thought through, focused and goal-oriented. And that's what the Mishkan was done, and we have a Smichas HaPsukim over there, the Pasuk juxtaposed Shabbos to Mishkan. So therefore we learn out that Shabbos, the Melech Shabbos, are Davka, only Melech, the Reisa, only if they are Melech Machsheves. Focused and goal-oriented Melech. The man says, without a tremendous amount of explanation, but he elaborates and he says that this is why the Oruch is more Mekel in the Shabbos than anywhere else in the Torah, and by Shabbos specifically he understood that if the secondary outcome is undesirable to me, then I'm not going to be over on the Issa Deraisa, because this is an outcome which is only secondary, it's not what I'm focused on doing, and it's undesirable, so it's not part of my goal, and consequently there, the Oruch is going to hold that Psik Resha L'Nichalei is Mutter. Now, Shank and other Issa Torah elsewhere in the Torah, which don't have any concept of Melechus Machsheves, the Dafka focused activity, goal-oriented activity, is the Issa, so elsewhere in the Torah I say that as long as it's a certainty outcome of my actions, it automatically is going to be included in the Issa Deraisa, even if I'm not thinking directly about bringing about that result, or I don't necessarily even want it. That's in one line of the Ramban. He says that the Oruch is Dafki Melech HaShabbos. A little bit later in the same Ramban, points out Reb Nochum, later in the Ramban says a pleiotic thing, that over there, the Ramban says that if he gives a case the isa to cut off a nega. That's the isa of ktitzas beheres. It's a loy say in the Torah to cut off a nega saras that a person has on the body. So over there, there's a case in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos of somebody who had a nega saras on the aver mila, on the exact spot where the mila needed to be done. The Gemara discusses the idea that the mila, a mitzvah of mila, is doicha, the isa of ktitzas beheres, and you can cut off the orla even if there's a nega on it. But what the Gemara says over there is that if you hold like of Shimon, the avashen meskaven is mutter, and they don't need a special pasuk for it. And the Oroch understood over there, says Ramban, that even if it's a certitude, it's not much a certainty that you're going to be cutting out the negat saras in the process of doing the bris milah, and it's a vaday and lechoy, we should not apply davashin meskavin. It's talked of in Ramban that the Oroch understood that according to his derech, that psikresha lo nichale, an undesirable psikresha, is going to be mutter. So there, according to Rav Shimon, it's going to be mutter even without a special exas, a kosov, a special gili hakro, a special asay de chaloy sase, because anyhow, it's not miskavein. The person is intending to do the mila, and there's just a kind of secondary outcome that the eris is being cut off. And even if it's a certainty that the nega will be cut off, it's psikresh de nicholay, kavida or de ichpas like, we don't assume that a person would desire to be in violation of the ktisa beheres of dafka cutting off the nega. So therefore, this is assumed to be something which is not desired by the person, and consequently, it falls under psikresha l'nichalei and is mutter. Fact of them, the Reb Nochum, it's mamash an incredible thing. It's a tmiya gadoila, back-to-back steer in the Ramban, in the same piece of the Ramban, regarding to whether he understands that the Orch is applicable only to Shabbos, or to other Yisuri Torah as well. Here, earlier in the piece, the Ramban says explicitly in the Das HaOrch that it only applies to Shabbos, because Shabbos has Melechas Machshevet, a special set of conditions, goal-oriented, focused. And yet, later on, the exact same piece, the Ramban says in the Das HaOrch that the person who cuts off the nega tzaras, he's just trying to cut off skin for the purpose of the meal, and he ends with nega tzaras cut off, and that would also be an example of sikresha d'leinichal in his mutter. Aye, that's not a din of Shabbos, it's a din of ksisa beheres, it has nothing to do with Shabbos. The issue over there is the fact that you're cutting out a nega. So it's a pella gadol, how could you apply the orach to ksisa beheres if you yourself just said that the orach is only said by Shabbos? Reb Nochum answers on this question by positing that the Oroch never really meant to make an absolute chiluk between Shabbos and all the Dine Torah, and just the absolute chiluk between them, but rather the fundamental point that the Oroch meant to bring out was to make a distinction between those Isurim, which are Isurim in the Pa'ula, in the physical act that you're doing, and those Isurim, which are fundamentally in the Toitzor, in terms of bring about a particular outcome. The Torah said, don't do that which is going to bring about a particular outcome. Now we know, and this is something which if you learned Masechta Shabbos, but you, and it's quite familiar, this idea that in Melachos Shabbos are not fundamentally a din of the physical pa'ula, but rather than a din of the outcome, and the fact that a particular outcome was generated. That's why, for example, in a very famous Gemara, Baba Kama Daf Chavov, the Gemara says that Zoyer V'ruach Mesayosoy is Chayav on Shabbos. A person throws the kernels of the chaff into the wind, and the wind winnows it. The wind did it. You just threw it into the wind, and the wind did it for you. The wind separated them out, the kernels from the shaft, and yet, the halacha is that you are Oiver. Why, says the Gemara? Melachos Machshevos Hasra. In other words, focus on the goal or at the malacha is what the Torah asked, which is explained by the Achronim to mean that by Melechas Shabbos, the litmus test is not did you do this act, that act, the other act, did I make the right check marks in the right boxes in terms of where the physical activities were done, but the correct question to ask is, did I do that which it takes to generate a particular outcome? Now the tevua is sorted, the kernels are sorted out of the shaft. I could utilize nature, it was really my utilization of the wind was that separated it. And that's vegan afa pikein. That's considered to be a malacha because he generated the proper outcome. Likewise, a person, for example, is kireya in such a manner he rips in a manner that's destructive, even though the physical act of ripping was achieved, then that's vegan, the outcome wasn't achieved, you don't have a desirable outcome because you end up with ripped up paper, which is undesirable, it's makoko, it's makalko, and therefore that's not a malacha Shabbos. So malacha Shabbos is outcome oriented, and that's what the Oroch meant, or Ramban meant, when he said that Shabbos is special because malacha is machshevas osra Torah. And what he meant was like this, says Reb Nochum. The concept here is as follows. If I do act A, which automatically carries with itself act B, I drag the chair, I'm intending just to drag the chair, and the charitz, the furrow, gets made in the ground. So if the act, the activity B is an isur in the pa'ula, the activity itself, unto itself is an isur, then I say that even though I was not intending that a secondary act, despite that, since act A will behechrach, absolutely lead to act B, so therefore these two are considered to be one unit. They join together as one unit, and my intent to do Act A is considered to be an intention for Act B as well. That's if the Isser B, the secondary Isser that I'm doing, is a din of the Pu'ula. Masha Inkin, if the Isser B, the secondary Isser I'm doing, is a din of the outcome is distinct from the activity I'm doing, and I'm considered to have Kavana for the activity that I'm doing, and that will not automatically be Rechind. It won't automatically be considered a Kavana for the secondary outcome which was brought about. That's why in Hilchos Shabbos, the Oruch held that where my secondary Isur was Melech HaShabbos, and the Melech HaShabbos is not desired, so there, since it's an outcome-oriented type Isur, the Isur HaShabbos are based upon the Toitzah, the circumstance that you brought about, and this, you're not of intent for that Toitzah, nor did you have a desire for that Toitzah, for that outcome, and mainly, even though it was asserted to, it was a thick ratio we brought about, we don't consider they had Kavana for it, that's Mutal thick ratio. Likewise, said Reb Nachum, we know from Rishonim Zokta that Tzitzis Beheres is also an outcome-oriented act. You know, it never says in the Chumash, thou shalt not cut thy beheres saras. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that b'chlal. What it says is, in other words, make sure that you don't shortcut the process. Make sure you don't bring about some tahara by getting rid of the beheres in some roundabout manner. And he brings in a Raja that says, b'feirish, that the isur of tzitzis beheres is not in the physical act of cutting the nega saras, but rather it's in bring about a tahara circumstance without a nega, so it's a din of the circumstance. And Meilu Zoktav Tender Rav Nochum, the Ramban is correct, and the Oruch is correct for understanding that Tzitzis Beheres likewise will be included in the heter of Sikresh L'Nichale. It's I was intending the primary act of an act of cutting, and we know the secondary act of getting rid of the Beheres will come about as well. However, since the fundamental Isser by Tzitzis Beheres is not in the activity of getting rid of the Beheres, but in bringing about a circumstance of Tara, that's something which is distinct from the act I'm doing, that's the circumstance which is brought about, the end result, and therefore that's not included in my kavana, and it'll be mutter al tavashenim eskaven. That's what the rules are in terms of applying the oruch. Now, if we're looking to our sugya, and we have Reb Michal Feinstein telling us that we need to apply, according to Rashi, the oruch shita of tikresha l'nichale mutter, we need to apply it to the circumstance at hand. It is the person who's bloodletting, he's letting the blood of the animal, and as a secondary outcome of that, he's creating a mum of the animal. So, I hold like the oruch is a tikresha l'nichale. I'm not interested in the secondary outcome, and Rashi is going to hold that that's mutter. Is that correct? Is that correct application of the Oruch? Or do I say, well, it's not Hilchos Shabbos, right? There's something else. It's the Hatolas Mum and the Kodshim. So maybe I can't apply the Oruch. So this is going to actually be dependent, and that's what I wanted to bring out, upon the two stodim that Rav Michal Feinstein and the Brisker Rav attribute to the various Rishonim in understanding what the Isra of Tzitzis Beheres is. The Isra of Hatolas Mum in Bekotchim is. If I hold like Rav Michal Feinstein and Medayek from the Rosh and from the Tur, then the Isser of Hatolos Mum Bekotchim is in the physical act of bringing about the mum. If I hold like the Brisker Rav and the Medayek from the Rambam, the Isser of Hatolos Mum Bekotchim is not in the physical activity, but in the fact that you're generating a circumstance in which the animal is Nifsal Mehakrova, it became possible from the Medayek. So, in our case, the Hatolos Mum is only a secondary outcome of what I'm coming to do. I'm going to make an decision, let the blood, it's derech agav being brought about, that is a secondary outcome, it's going to get a mum. If I want to learn the way that Rav Michal Feinstein attributes to Rashi, that we're going to apply the Oruch to this Rashi, and therefore be matir it, I'm going to have to learn the idea that attributed to the Rambam, which is that the Isra of Hatolos Mum is a din of the circumstance that's brought about, is a din of the outcome that's generated, in other words, that this animal, now that it has a mum in it, is possibly Krova, and therefore, in consequence of that, in the case at hand, in Rashi over here, in Rav Shimon, where I'm not directly coming to a matl mum, I'm really just directly coming to make an incision and let the blood out. The mum is a secondary outcome, and since that secondary outcome is not contained within the pu'ula itself of cutting the animal and making the mum, but rather in the outcome that the animal is memela nifsal mehakrova, it's becoming possible makrova, so therefore we would not apply the rule of psik ratio according to the Oruch, and we'd be matir it. If I learn the other way, however, if I learn like Rav Michal Feinstein's Diak in the Rosh, that Tatolos Mum is within the physical pu'ula of being matl mum, then we won't be able to say the shtickle teir in Rashi and apply the Oruch over here, because according to that chat, this is the classic psik ratio the Oruch would answer. I'm doing pu'ula A, which is letting the blood, and that's bringing about pu'ula B, which is Tatolos Mum, which is also intrinsic in the pu'ula itself, and in such a case, even the Oruch would agree, according to this understanding of Hatolos Mum, that the pu'ula ratio here would be also.
On the base, the Gemara says that Hakol Moedim the Mechametz Achar Mechametz Shul Chayov, which is to say that if a person is Mechametz, he ferments a mincha, he makes it fermented, then it's Chometz, and then he's Mechametz after the Mechametz, secondary, a second time, the halacha is he is definitely Chayov. That's Hakol Moedim, regardless of what I hold about Mum after Mum, I'm definitely going to hold Mechametz after Mechametz is Chayov because it has exactly a cost of what the Gemara brings. What exactly does that mean that a person is Mechametz Achar Mechametz? So this, there's actually two fundamentally different pshatim. Rashi explains this to mean that, Rashi writes this over here, Rashi's Loshen, that Rashi says, he quotes the Gemara, that anybody who does one of the activities in the processing and the preparation of a carbon mincha, and he does it b'chimutz, in a fermented mincha, then the halacha is that he's chayav for doing that activity. For example, like Rashi gives, oirech achar halosh, that the person needs a fermented dough, mincha, and then he shapes it. He shapes it after it's b'chimutz, and then he bakes after the shaping has been done, and each and every single one of these steps independently as a mechayev of malchus, as a separate violation of the lois hasei, and Rashi understands that to be what mechametz achar mechametz means over here. In other words, it doesn't mean that it's becoming more chametz after the first chametz. You know, I'm adding to the fermentation, it's more fermented than it was before. That's not what it means according to Rashi. Chametz is chametz, it became chametz. But now that it became chametz, let's say I'm shaping it, I'm being oirech that chametz de gado of the mincha. Let's say subsequently after it's shaped, I put it into the oven to bake it, that chametz de gado. So each and every one of these steps, one after another, is going to be considered an additional violation of mechametz achar mechametz. And that's the chiddush according to Rashi in this Gemara. The Rambam is mashma not like this, and the Tfasemis makes this deek in the Rambam, because the Rambam brings down two separate halachas. One halacha, the Rambam brings down mechametz achar mechametz, like our sugya. Independently, the Rambam says, in an additional separate halacha, v'loikin al kol asiya v'asiya shabo, that you get an individual malchus for each and every individual independent step in the processing of the mincha. And Kate said, for example, said the Rambam, that a person needs it in the manner when it's fermented, when it's chametz, and he shapes it in the manner of chametz, and he bakes it in the manner of chametz. So every one of those steps individually is going to be a violation of the lois say of preparing a mincha b'chimutz, and independent of that, there I'm being a separate halacha that mechametz achar mechametz is chayev. What is this independent din according to the Rambam? According to Rashi, these two dinim are identical. These doing the independent steps one after another b'chimutz are the Gemara's meaning when the Gemara says mechametz achar mechametz. According to Rashi, what is this independent activity that according to the Rambam? So the Sasimis writes that the Rambam understood that the mechametz achar mechametz means that even after the dough became chametz, for example, the person added so'ir to it, he added sourdough, so he added to the fermentation process and became extra mechametz, even more than they originally had been. And according to Rambam, that's a more literal reading of mechametz achar mechametz. He added to the fermentation process, add sourdough, even after it's already fermented, and the halacha is that you're going to be in violation. So now there's actually a big tumult on this back and forth about whether adding to the fermentation process after it's mechametz could possibly be considered a violation. Mechas Chinuch discusses this question in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Hei, and Mechas Chinuch writes that he believes misvara that such a thing could not possibly be shayach. What's the logic, Zokter? Chometz is all or nothing. Either it's chometz or it's not chometz. It reaches the stage of chometz, has a shem chometz. What's the point that you're adding to the chometz? What more does that do? So the opinion of the Mechas Chinuch is that by definition such a thing cannot be a violation. He doesn't accept that that could be mechametz achar mechametz. And the Chofetz Chaim and the Zevach Toide here in Lekutei Halachos discusses this question as well. Chofetz Chaim actually, interestingly, understands that there could be chametz achar chametz, but he seems to understand that that's if you make it, you bring it from the regular shem chametz to the shem so'er, it's super fermented. So'er is chemutzei kosher, chazal say, it's mechametz achayrim, it's sourdough, it's very, very fermented, it has a fermentation ability that you place it into a dough, and it's mechametz achayrim. So Chofetz Chaim, in other words, seems to get around the problem of what it means to have an extra violation of chametz achar chametz by saying that the person took already fermented dough, which is already chametz, but he brings it to the super fermented point that it's like sourdough, and it's able to mechametz achayrim, it's chemutzei kosher, like the Lashon Rav Sachem, so a very harsh and extreme sort of a ferment, and there the Chofetz Chaim understands in the Zevach Toide that there could be a violation of chemetz achar chemetz. Miskirov over here claims that Rashi totally rejected this whole idea of adding to the ferment being an extra violation, and that's what Rashi had to learn here, that chometz achar chometz means that the person did more steps in the seder ha'asiyah. In other words, he kneaded it b'chimutz, and then after that he shaved it b'chimutz, and after that he baked it b'chimutz, so that each of these steps independently is a violation, and that's, according to Rashi, what the Gemara means by mechametz achar mechametz. The Brisker Rav over here asked a big kasha, a very big kasha on the Rambam, and this kasha is also asked by Rabbi Chofesh Perla as well,
in the Chibur on the Minhag HaMitzvos, a very bekasha. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Yad, in both places, consistently brings down the issur of offering mincha b'chimutz, being mechametz a mincha, when you get to the shirayim of the mincha rather than when you get to the koimetz. In other words, the Rambam consistently in the Yad as well in the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam says that the lois say is to mechametz the shirayim, to cause the shirayim to be chometz. And this is a very, very big problem because there's no question whatsoever that it's much and kamadinim in the Gemara and kamasugis that there is an issa to mechametz the koimetz as well. It's the koimetz that's offered in the Be'er. It's not like the issa is dafka on the shirayim. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, the Gemara actually has to learn of a special pasuk that even the shirayim are included in the iser to be mechametz the mincha. It says like, so you offer chometz chelkom, and the Gemara learns from the word chelkom that even the chelak hakoyanim that's going to be eaten is also included in the iser of being mechametz the mincha. So how could you possibly have it like that the Rambam consistently in the Yad and the Sefer Mitzvah, both places, always brings down the lois say b'negeya to the shirayim of the mincha? Very, very big kasha. This Gerov's teretz over here is somewhat dochok. I'm going to say over the Ruchem Fischer Perlus teretz, where he says, which is actually based on a very sharp idiyuk in the Rambam. The Ruchem Fischer Perlus points out that there's actually additional shverik, a big problem with the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs, which is also found as well in the Sefer Chinuch as well. Both of them, when they bring down the iser of being maktir chometz on ezbech, that's loy saktiru v'ashem, kli chol vash chol soyer chol vash loy saktiru, etc., that the iser to be maktir a soyer, a fermented dough, or mechometz, any kind of chometz on ezbech, the iser to be maktir to offer on ezbech, both the Chinuch and the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam both say that included in this loisa say is the iser of loisa yosa chometz, that you're not allowed to prepare your mincha b'chometz. It's included in this loisa say. And the Ruchem Fischer Perlus says it's a very, very big pella, because how could you say it's included? It's a very, very two different concepts out there. One of them has to do with the Haktorah. Even if you were not the one with the Muhammad said rule, somebody else was Muhammad's the mincha, somebody else made it fermented, they put the sourdough in and they let it ferment or whatever, they left it to rise. The Kohen took the ready Muhammad's the mincha and he offered on his bech and he's over on the loisak tiru lashem, you know, you're over on the issue of the Haktorah. Mashing the use of loisay also chomets is to ferment it, to put the sourdough in or whatever, to leave it to rise, to make it fermented and make it chimutz, and that could be done even by a non-koyen be'etzem. He's not doing the avoid on the mincha, he's preparing the mincha. So, and that's the, it says prepare it b'chimut. So why in the world one of them be included in the other? A very, very big kasha. Professor Perler writes that this is a very big problem to understand how the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch included the one and the other. Grad in the Knesset Rishonim over here, the Magir, Rabbi Yekadov Dilan, Ta'in is on this, that the Pashto says, he says, mashma, that the Pshat and the Chinuch and the Rambam is like a smashma in the Ramban on Chumash on that Pasuk. And the Ramban on Chumash on the Pasuk over there in Parashas Vayikra, the Ramban says, Lo yisei yosa chometz, not to prepare the manner of the making it into chometz. Zokter, the Ramban says, we're answering bringing a mincha b'chumutz, so you're preparing it for the purpose of bringing it. In other words, so the Ramban understands, in other words, that the issa to be mechametz the mincha is not just an issa in and of itself, but the asoid is this mincha is destined to be brought, and you are preparing it to be brought in a manner of chumutz by being mechametz it now. So therefore, the issa to make it chimutz is the destiny, based on the destiny idea, there's a mincha that's destined to be offered. You are not allowed to transform it by mechametz it now. You can't transform it into a mincha that's destined to be offered the chimutz. Likewise, the Ramban actually says on Lois Saktim in the Isha Lashem, that the Ramban says he can't offer a chometz or a sa'or on the mezbech. The Ramban says shalom yachmetz hakoimetz v'yachtirena, that you can't have been mechametz it and be machtir it. So he says that even though technically there's no question whatsoever that Ruchem Fischer Perlus is correct, and there are independent Ulois over here. One of them is the pool of being machmitz the mincha, and that is loisei also chometz, to make it chometz. And the other is the pool of offering that which is already mechometz, that's loisak tiru. Nonetheless, the way that Ramban understands in the Pshuta Shem Mikra, these really represent one continuum. The idea over here is right from the get-go, this is a mincha that's destined to be offered. Don't change his destiny now by being machmitz it in such manner that his destiny now is going to be offered the chometz. And then the eventuality is if you taka offer it, you'll be over on loisak tiru. So therefore, the chenuch and the Rambam understood that this is considered to be, it's one process, even though there's two lois to say, there's two steps in the process. The first step is being mechametz it, the second step is offering it mechametz. Nonetheless, they count that as one in the minyan hamitzvahs. Being that it may, says Rabbi Yerucham Fischer Perlo, if you understand this nekuda in the same mitzvah Rambam, you understand the other Rambam as well. That says, we asked the kasha on the Rambam before, why is it that when the Rambam reckons an independent mitzvah in the minyan hamitzvahs to mechametz mincha, he only reckons independently the the Issa de Mechamed Sashirayim. How in the world could that a thing be? It's Much and Kam Mekomis in the Gemara and Kam Mekomis in Halacha. Avada v'avada, no question whatsoever, is also Issa de Mechamed Sashirayim. You can't take the Chomitz and make it fermented in such manner that it rises and it becomes Chomitz. Avada, that's Issa. So why did the Rambam focus when he counted the Minha Mitzvahs, the Loisa, say to Mechamed Sashirayim, he focused on the Shirayim? The answer is very good, Zachar Vishal Perlo, based on the other Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs that we spoke of in Mitzvah Tzadik Ches. So it says, the Rambam, when he reckons Loisaktiru, which is the Issa to be Maktir, the offer, the Mincha, and Fashtetzuch, the Haktorah is done on what? The Haktorah is done on the Koimetz. So there's an Issa to offer, to be Maktir the Koimetz in a manner of Chometz. Included in the Loisa, say, the Rambam includes not just the act of offering it, of being Maktir it, but also the act of, the preparatory act of preparing that which will be Muktar in a manner of Chometz, so that you're making it destined to be offered, be Hukta b'Chometz. That means preparing the Koimetz in a manner of Chometz that is destined to be offered the Chometz is included, according to the Rambam, in the Lois HaSeh of Lois HaKtiru. So when the Rambam got to Rechen to enumerate independently in the Minyan HaMitzvahs a separate Lois HaSeh to be Mechametz the Mincha, he wasn't going to include in this separate Lois HaSeh the being Mechametz the Koimetz, because being Mechametz the Koimetz is Nichol, in his opinion, in the Isra being Maktir the Koimetz. The Koimetz is not allowed to go on the Zbeach b'Chometz, and the preparatory stage which readies it for the going of the Zbeach b'Chometz is also included in their Lois HaSeh. So being Machmet the Koimetz included in Lois HaKtiru, in the opinion of the Rambam, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. And maybe the one thing that's left to Rechen to enumerate independently in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, according to Rambam, the Issa de Machmet the Mincha, is that which won't go on the Zbeach, and that's the Shirayim. That's why the Rambam stresses throughout in the Yad and the Sefer Mitzvahs that the independent Lois HaSeh to Machmet the Mincha, that's something Machmet the Shirayim which won't go on the Zbeach, because the Machmet the Koimetz to make that Koimetz, that which will go on the Zbeach, is included already in the existing well-known Lois HaSeh of Lois HaKtiru, of the Isra of the Haktorah of the Koimetz Bechemetz.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Maram HaKlemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.